Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you here until 2 o'clock this afternoon right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on that toll-free number, and we'd love to hear from you here this afternoon. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Father, our prayers certainly go out for our friend Bruce Musselman. Many of our listeners know him and his programs here on AM 1220. And we just pray that you would just help him have speedy recovery, Lord. And Father, again, we just pray that you would guide us, help us make sense of things happening in the world based on your word. And we do pray that we could point people to Christ through the program today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned praying here this start of the program here today, some of you no doubt know who Bruce Musselman is. He's got several programs here on Thursday and all, Where is God's Word and things like that. He is in the hospital right now. I do pray for him. And certainly he would appreciate that. I had a chance to stop in and see him yesterday, and he's in good spirits. But just pray for him and pray a speedy recovery, and we can see him back on here with us and up to his ministry and all those sorts of things. But do pray that God will get him up and on the go here soon. Also, pray for the situation that's just seems to be escalating in the Middle East right now. The Bible says we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And if you've been watching the news, I mean, it's something else what's happening there. After having literally hundreds of rocket attacks into Jerusalem out of the Gaza Strip, the Israelis earlier this week began fighting back and bombing a variety of the rocket bases where they're sending out rockets and mortar fire and military targets in the Gaza Strip. They took out the military chief of the Hamas with a pinpoint bomb as he was traveling down the street, and a variety of things. And things have been escalating. A development that's been very concerning is that in this latest wave of rocket attacks, the rockets out of the Gaza Strip have actually reached Tel Aviv. And then today it was reported that they had actually had some reach Jerusalem. And what that means is, if you look at the size of Israel, from the various sides, from the Gaza Strip and the Sinai in the south, from Lebanon and Syria in the north, and Jordan on the east, if all of those places were attacking Israel, there's really no part of Israel that could not be reached by rocket fire. So certainly do pray for the situation there. Yesterday it was reported that Israel is calling up 30,000 reservists. Now, that's not something that they just do on a lark. Today, with the attacks in Jerusalem, rocket attacks in Jerusalem, they're calling for a further call up of reserve forces. And Hamas has already said that this is war with Israel. And Morsi, the president of Egypt, has threatened Israel. He said that Israel will not stand up to the Egyptian fury, so stop now. Actually, his exact quote was, "You won't stand up to the Egyptian fury, so stop now." And his prime minister is actually in the Gaza Strip right at the moment, and that would be the Prime Minister Hashem Kondi. He arrived in the Gaza Strip, I believe, today. Israel has temporarily suspended some of its attacks on the Gaza Strip. Of course, they don't want to drop a bomb and kill the Egyptian prime minister. And he was supposed to be there for about 2 hours, I guess. And then, but the problem is, even though some of the Hamas groups were indicating that they might stop, Jihad Islami refused to hold its fire. So do pray about the situation there. I was thinking, looking at the world and things that are happening, one guy I heard on the radio yesterday who was in Israel said, this could be the start of World War III. And so I'm thinking, looking at the news today, we'll either remember today as, I guess, the start of World War III or the death of the Twinkie, one of the two. The Hostess Twinkie, the Hostess company's gone out of business because the Bakers Union refused to make some conciliations. The Teamsters did and some other unions did, but the Bakers Union refused to cave. And I forget how many thousands of workers are out of a job now because the Bakers Union didn't want to make a little bit of a concession on some of their pension plans and things. But I'd rather today be remembered as the death of the Twinkie than the death of or than the start of World War III. So do pray for the situation there and pray what you can do to help, to encourage people, encourage people from God's word. We read the word of God and we know that God has a plan for the Middle East. And with that, I want to mention something here real quick, and we'll get to our phone call here in a minute. But I want to mention something. We have a book available called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. And I want to mention that if you go to the website for this program, live.maplenoel.us, that's live.maplenoel, Maplenoel spelled M-A-P-L-E-K-N-O-L-L, live.maplenoel.us, you'll see a link there, and you can get the book either, there's a couple ways that you can get it. But what I wanted to mention with that real quick here is that it goes through a look at the Ezekiel 38 prophecy and nations that are mentioned there, and then looks at nations that are not mentioned there and why they might not be mentioned there. And that actually has to do with the fact that there's a number of nations that are going to be destroyed prior to the Ezekiel 38 prophecy, and part of those areas that are going to be destroyed is going to be there what would be the Gaza Strip today. The Gaza Strip back in the days of the Old Testament days, and actually time of David and Solomon, things like that, was where the Philistines lived. And the Philistines were the original Palestinians, no relation to the Arab people that call themselves Palestinians today. They just appropriated that name. That's a long story for another time. But the area there on the West Bank, Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 says, and this is future, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there be no, or shall be no inhabitant, and the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah, and they shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Now, Ashkelon right now is a Jewish city, but the Gaza Strip, that's it would be the Gaza Strip today. And this prophecy in Zephaniah 2, verses 4 through 7, clearly says that Gaza will be forsaken. It means that it's talking about the Palestinians or the Philistines, in this case, the inhabitants of this area, which would be the present-day Palestinians there, are going to be rooted out. They're going to be destroyed, and the Jewish people are going to take over. And this is the prophecy right here. There's other prophecies dealing with that as well. And this is a scripture yet to be fulfilled, and there's already calls for the Israeli Defense Force, I should say, to go in and completely occupy the Gaza Strip and root out all the terrorists, and in which case, you know, you could see this morphing into a much larger war that could potentially lead to the fulfillment of Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And a number of those things are dealt with in my book, The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. And one of the things I want to mention with that book, we don't talk a whole lot about our funding of the program here, but as we say in the end, this program, of course, is brought to you by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. That's primary support for the program. Also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is a secondary means of support here. And that's our primary support of this program. It costs $150 to be on here right now for this half hour. One of the things I'd like to suggest is if you find this program of value is if you go to our website, live.maplenoll.us, and you click on the links there to order the Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, which looks at some of the things that are happening in the Middle East right now. The purchase of that book, it's only $2.99, will actually help support this program. Of that, roughly two-thirds of that or so, I'm not sure the exact amount, is the amount that comes back after the distributors and all get their cut. So if you just said $2 of that goes, 100 people buying that book, that's $200. That more than supports this half hour that we're on the air. We also have another book there that's also $2.99, and that's Who Is This Jesus, which is a collection of articles dealing with the nature and work of Jesus Christ. And even if you don't want to go on and buy one of those two books, you can get a free book there, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures, which if you follow the link, it's absolutely free. But I would encourage you, even if you don't get one of the other two books, The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War or Who Is This Jesus, click on the links anyways and get the free book, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. That'll do a couple of things. One, it'll encourage me because I know people are listening. And number two, it's a good book that you can get, that you can read, get ready for Christmas is coming up in another month or so, month and a half. And it's something that you might find helpful in your celebration as a family, the birth of Christ, get away from some of the commercialism and just concentrate on what the Bible says. And you can go there. The links are right there. Click on live.maplenoll.us. That's live.maplenoll.us, and there's the links are right there on the right hand side. You can help us out. I'm not asking you to send me money. You can send me money if anybody out there's got $5,000 you don't know what to do with. I'll take that. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I'm not asking you to send me money for nothing. Click on one of those books, and you can buy those books, and that'll help support this program, and that'll encourage us that you're listening and that you find the program of value. Well, I've been rambling here about this, that, and the other, and we have Nancy in Euclid patiently waiting. And Nancy, are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Andy, Snacko, told us Wednesday night at Bible study about Pastor Bruce Musselman having a stroke in a car accident. And so I was, fearing the worst, but praise the Lord. I looked at the number of the Parma Hospital, and I was able to talk to him for a good half hour this morning. He sounded really good. And he says his main problem is his eyesight.
Right.
And strength, you know. But, I was just, could have been much, much worse, because he said that he was having these stroke-like symptoms
right
prior to the accident.
Yeah.
That's what caused it. And this was 4 a.m. in the morning, so we need to continue to pray for him, of course, as you mentioned before. And he's such a good, he's the first person that greeted me back in 1986 when I first started going to Bible Baptist Temple, and because he was helping Pastor Rusnacko, a lot.
Right, right. He's before. Responsible for the church area, yeah.
Yeah, and he, that was the year before he married Carol,
mm-hmm.
and, he's just such a big part of our church, and he comes back often. He's like a real good friend of ours.
Right.
But the reason I called today, and I was tempted to talk about the Israeli situation with Iran bombing and them, you know, retaliating. But I was just very interested in the situation about Benghazi and the hearings where General Petraeus, I've heard, the last I heard, he is going to be testifying.
He actually was testifying today. I heard something on the news earlier that that he was going in to testify. I don't know that he had as yet, but he was going in, and they were remarking that he seemed to be, you know, pretty calm and not really taking any questions from anybody.
Well, do you think that he's going to be prompted by Obama and his minions because they're trying to cover this up? I mean, it's very obvious.
Well, yeah, and there's obviously a cover-up, and we'll possibly talk about this some more on our Sunday night program when we have a little more time and all. But just in short, the cover-up actually, you know, began back on September 11 when President Obama and Vice President Biden and the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, you know, watched the attack unfold in real time, and then promptly went out and told everybody they didn't know why it happened.
It
was about some video. Yeah, that was some lame video that appeared on YouTube that nobody had hardly heard of. And but they know a lot more than what's there. More is coming out. Interesting to see what comes out. The House is having some hearings. The Senate Intelligence Committee is having hearings. And I think personally that the woman that Petraeus was involved with, Broadhouse, I think she was going to write a book on the thing because there's just some statements. There's just some statements. I remember an incident when I was in the Air Force. We had a guy that, let's just say that they took boxes of classified materials out of his place, and he was supposedly going to write a book too. There was more to it than that, but that's about all I can say right now.
I think Paula Broadwell is definitely
Broadwell.
To write
that's the right name.
It'll be a hit, believe me.
Yeah, I think because
about her relationship with General. She doesn't care because she wants to make a lot of money from the book.
It remains to be seen what's going to transpire there. And quite frankly, I think that if our president knew these people were being killed and refused to act, you know, that's certainly dereliction of duty at best and treasonous at worst. And I think the House may possibly consider impeachment hearings at some time.
Okay, now if he gets impeached, would Biden be the president or Romney?
No, not necessarily, because the House can impeach somebody. That doesn't do anything except finds them guilty and impeaches them. It has to go to the Senate, and then the Senate is the one who would decide what the punishment would be if they should be booted out of office. Remember, President Clinton was impeached.
He was
the second president that was impeached, but he was not removed from office. And then President Johnson, President Johnson in the 1800s was impeached. And he was not removed from office either. So the Senate, I highly doubt, would remove President Obama.
Oh, yeah, they're democratically controlled. And, they're not going to get rid of him.
But if they did, Biden would become the president because he's the vice president. That would be the succession. Then they would appoint a new vice president. Richard Nixon back in the 70s knew that he was going to be impeached, so he resigned. And then his, that's where Vice President Ford came into office. I that's certainly a situation we need to watch and pray about and pray that the truth will come out in that situation. I mean, they did their best to cover it up. A lot of people just didn't know too much about it before the election. I don't know how much it would have affected the turnout of the election. Apparently, over 6 million people who identified themselves in exit polls as born-again evangelicals voted for President Obama, so clearly they had.
I actually
know of a couple of people who are born again who did, but the problem was, here's the problem: They had other things that were more important to them than the Word of God,
and things that were
more important to them than their biblical values.
The milk and cookies,
and,
right?
Exactly. Well, Nancy, I got another call, and got just a couple minutes left.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate that. And keep praying for Brother Bruce Musselman.
Oh, sure.
And encourage people. Thank you. And call us again. Maybe we talk about this some more again later. But thank you. We got John and Euclid up next. And, John, we got about 5 minutes left in our program.
Good to have you. Thanks for taking my call, Pastor Al.
Welcome.
Hello, you there, Pastor Al?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on for a minute. You know, I mean, I'm sure you're aware that now, for the first time, it seems that rockets are hitting Tel Aviv.
They hit Tel Aviv yesterday, and they hit Jerusalem today.
Yeah, and what I understand from hearing that, I mean, I think that's the first time. It's not the first, certainly, terrorist attacks that took place, but it's the first time that rockets were able to go that far.
Right, yeah, they had two Fajr rockets land in Tel Aviv, I guess, yesterday. And then they had two, I think, similar Fajr rockets land in the north side of Jerusalem today. And in each case, they all landed on open ground, no casualties as a result.
Well, that's very fortunate. Praise the Lord for that. But, I mean, it seems like that I was listening to a little of Jay Sekulow, and he had on a man from Israel, and he was saying, what it is now, it used to be just the border towns in Israel would be attacked with these missiles. But now, with the increased armament that these terrorist groups are getting, you know, now they're going to be able to do a lot more. They're showing they can
absolutely
reach capital cities of Israel now.
Mm-hmm.
And then between that and, Iran developing a nuclear weapon, it seems like this present administration, too, is just doing a lot to show that they're distancing themselves from Israel. Remember, the president said that he wants to put space between the USA and Israel. It's kind of like an abandonment of our major ally there in the Middle East. And, you know, and you can see the terrorist groups being emboldened by that.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Because, this kind of stuff could have happened earlier, but a lot of the world was waiting to see how the elections went. Quite frankly, President Obama is not respected in the Middle East. I mean, you can read some of the Middle Eastern news sites and papers and reports, and he's not respected in the Muslim world. He's really not, quite frankly, when he's not really respected in Israel because of his duplicity and his, being, kind of a fair-weather friend. And it's not coincidental that a few weeks after the election, this is starting to burst out over there. The next thing, there's a number of things going. The Hamas spokesman, Fawzi Barhoum, I think it is, he said that they've got surprises yet. They're going to do more yet. And they're emboldened. And Hezbollah is talking about joining in the party and attacking Israel from the north. And, of course, Iran does have, I forget what the number is, a Shahed missile that can theoretically reach Jerusalem. And, of course, even if it can't reach Jerusalem from Iran, they can move it into Syria or into Iraq or into Lebanon and certainly reach from there. But, yeah, it's clear from what's happened last night and today that all of Israel is in range of rocket fire. And somebody had a great question. They said, what if one of these Hamas rockets strikes the Dome of the Rock or the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount and destroys it? Of course, they'll blame the Jewish people, even if they blow it up themselves. But wouldn't that be something? We know that the temple is going to be rebuilt on the Temple Mount. John, I'm out of time. The music's coming up there. I'm sure we'll talk about this some more in our Sunday night program at 11 o'clock, 11 till midnight right here on AM 1220 The Word. And we'll certainly be talking about it at our Friday night Bible study. Certainly invite you, if you're listening and you're here in northeastern Ohio, right where 77 and 80 cross in northern Summit County, Richfield, Ohio, the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 7 o'clock till 9. We'll be there talking about these things, talking about the Bible. Encourage you to come and check out our website, live.maplenoel.us. Good night. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. You can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at bbc.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220, The Word.